in a yoga pant.
What is it? Oh, nice.
We're on the air.
Welcome to Fishing Team's first podcast. We're going to call this episode one. And I'm up before noon on a Sunday, which is as much of a surprise to me as anyone. My name is Jamie Manus. I'm here with Matthew Bay, the technician and problem solver of Fishing Team. And we're heading out to the Guadalupe River to try to inconvenience some rainbow trout, maybe brown trout.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens with that.
It's a bright, sunny, warm day in late January.
Beautiful day.
Which is terrible for fishing for trout.
It is. I'm betting my forecast for the it wasn't that bad segment that we're going to look at after all is said and done and some greasy eats are being consumed is I bet somebody's going to catch a sunfish, somebody's going to catch a Guadalupe bass, and there might be a trout. I think Matthew's going to catch a Guadalupe bass or a smallmouth.
Yeah, that's not a bad guess, knowing my history.
Yeah.
And my increased ability to catch warm water fish and radically decreased ability to catch trout of any sort.
that may be the one species that I actually am slightly better at you than catching. I think that's the only one left.
Well. Yeah, you've got the time in.
Yeah, and that's all it is.
Yeah, I think you've got the lighter rig too, I think is like it that gives you an edge.
5-weight, boys and girls, that's what you want. You want a 5-weight fly outfit. Makes the little ones big, makes the big ones crazy.
That's what she said.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Well, I got like part of my egregious performance last time we were out is that I was using like 8-weights like floral coated line instead of the 6-weights fluorocarbon line that I had been using previously.
You think it was spooking the fish?
Yeah, I think I was just a hair over the tippet limit there.
I've been using Invisic fluorocarbon, which is a 6-pound.
Not a sponsor of the podcast, by the way.
Not a sponsor. We don't have any sponsors yet. Invisic, you can get it on Amazon for it's kind of expensive. It's like $17 or $18 for a 100 or 150 yard. Spool of 6-pound test, but you can make a lot of tippets with that. I'm still using the tippet ring system, which Matthew kind of abandoned.
I found the tippets that I most recently bought.
Yeah.
As I was cleaning up the shed last night. Oh. It was like on the floor in like this tiny little Ziploc bag.
Yeah.
So now I've got that available. Yeah. But again, I don't know if I'm going to... I might use it. I find that it's really annoying whenever you're doing anything like drive, like it's like you can't, like I can't do a foam spider or a popper with a tippet ring because the tippet ring sinks. Just
yeah,
a little
it's
bit.
True. Even if it's it's much better suited to nymphing. It's like I would say surgeon's knots are the way to go for everything else, and you can bang one out real quick.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing.
Well, that's also what she said.
Yeah, but it's not. I don't even use a surgeon knot. I use like this lazy overhand knot, and it seems to work okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't had any, spectacular fails. I think, since we're kind of starting this podcast mid-season for the Guadalupe River Trout Unlimited.
We're a mid-season replacement podcast.
Kind of a mid-season replacement. Exactly. Tony Danza had some better offers, so he decided to, he got his own series,
Your Pet Is Too Ugly, starring Tony Danza.
Yeah. Think of us as, think of us as what used to be in the slot after Who's the Boss. That's us. That's what this podcast is. So maybe it was like a Judith Light, some sort of a niche comedy where, she's a recent thrice divorced woman.
Mm.
And,
Whistling personality disorder. each marriage has got a different personality.
That's right. And I think she's underrated as an actress. I think she's great as the judge on Law and Order. She has a recurring character. I'd like to throw a shout out to Julie Bracken's stepmother, who, apropos of nothing, once said, "I love Judith Light."
It's in the middle of a conversation.
Yeah, I mean, it was just like, and it just one of those things where it's like, wow, you have some really strong feelings about Judith Light. And it just boggled Julie's mind, and mine too, actually. But I think, and what one of the biggest challenges of that Judith Light spinoff is working the phrase "thrice divorced" into the theme song without it sounding forced or
Does it rhymed with?
Thrice. Oh, all kinds of things. Nice, lice.
But divorce, that's like...
Oh, thrice divorce. Oh, yeah, divorce. Yeah, it's like, what rhymes with orange? Yeah, nothing. Yeah, so... Yeah. Of course...
Hip dwarfed? No.
Of course. And, you know, all right, here's just an idea. Of course, she's thrice divorced. But that's not gonna stop her or her other personalities. And there's two... There's Slutty Jane, you know, so, yeah.
And then there's the secret evil personality that's like, drawn out over the first season.
Yeah, and then there's, of course, the heartbreaking little girl who saw something traumatic when she was five.
And Mr. Robot.
Yeah. Who is
an actual robot in this show.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
So we're heading down Hoffman Lane.
Which is an irritatingly slow speed limit.
Very slow, yeah. 35-mile-an-hour speed limit. A lot of deer.
A little narrow, live oak-lined drive here.
Beautiful trees on this. Yeah, my personal take is, I could be totally wrong, but yeah, it seems like, you know, it's the kind of place where, like, a lot of retirees probably live, or,
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of children's toys in all of these.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
This wouldn't be a bad place to retire, maybe.
Kind of wouldn't be.
You could, like, although I figure that wherever I retire, it needs to be within walking distance of a donut shop.
Yeah.
Because that'll be my morning.
Oh, yeah, man. You know, I got no problem with that.
Walk to a donut shop, read the newspaper, practice my Korean with the person behind the counter.
Yeah, yeah.
As I pretend that I'm improving myself.
Oh, come on.
But, I mean, when you're retired, you don't need to improve yourself.
Okay. That just seemed to take a dark turn. And just like, we're slowly falling apart. Everything is decaying in entropy. And, I mean, yeah, to a certain extent that's true. But you gotta, you know... I'm on the side of Sisyphus, man. You just, you know, you gotta just get up, you know. Or who was it? I can't remember if it was Nietzsche or, who was it that said, the guy who was, like, talked about the concept of the absurd. That's either Nietzsche or Kafka, I can't remember. One of those guys that didn't have to...
Could be Kierkegaard.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah. But, you know... Regardless, none of those guys ever had to pull a shift at a donut shop.
That's true. That is true.
They just got to sit around and smoke, have multiple mistresses, and just talk about how meaningless everything was.
Well, that's a philosophy degree, I can tell you that.
You're goddamn right it is. Yeah.
Minus multiple mistresses part for me. But smoking, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Coffee shops, yeah, they're in there.
Oh, yeah.
Check. So as far as the first lease, I'm thinking, because it's bright and sunny, someplace that is either has deep water or lots of shade.
Sure.
And because...
Trout.
I'm tired of Barking Dog and Rio. Maybe someplace we haven't been recently.
Understood. I think Maricopa. That sounds fine. Maybe Maricopa. Maybe walking up, or maybe...
Now that I've got, like, waiters that don't leak.
Yeah.
Walking up, it sounds like my work.
We could go look and see what it's like at Whitewater. I don't know. I mean, that's...
I don't like Whitewater. It's got too many thieves in it.
Yeah, yeah. Part of the, you know, part of the controversy that you're going to hear from us when we're talking about the Guadalupe River Trout Unlimited experience is, once those fish go into the water, anybody in Texas can fish there. Now...
There's a big controversy.
Yeah, and in the trophy zone, the ethos of the GRTU member is that it's all catch and release, and you're very careful with the fish. You don't play them too much so they don't wear themselves out and, you know, die after you get your hero picture of them. So, you know, more and more it's a catching them promptly and maybe, you know, having some pictures of them in the net and reviving them and watching them swim off and feeling good about things. That's pretty much it. But the, you know, we're kind of diametrically opposed to people who just want to, you know, meat haulers. People who just want to, you know, catch trout and take them home and throw them on the grill, which I suppose is your American right. But, yeah, some leases are more conducive to that kind of fishing than others. And Whitewater is definitely one of those where, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, if I'm going to be paying for the GRTU lease,
yeah.
I prefer leases that are exclusive to GRTU, unless like we know that there's like really good fishing.
Yeah.
You know, just to like, you know, just to be an elitist about it. You know?
Sure, absolutely. Part of the attraction for me of coming out here is just those moments where you can't see anybody else, and you actually can fool yourself into thinking this is my river, and you're, you know, seeing it and experiencing it for the first time, and somehow in a conversation with it that's been going on for thousands of years or something. So that's the dream anyway, mm-hmm. And it's not often experienced, usually either early or late at night.
While catching exotic, wildly improbable trout.
Wildly improbable trout, yeah. That is the That is what keeps us coming back. Both of us have gotten pretty spoiled catching trout that, you know, our fathers and grandfathers and their, you know, multi-hour treks up to the mountains would just, you know, would soil themselves if they saw how big some of these fish were, you know. You know, I haven't had this happen in a while, but I remember the first time I got into some. I'm not going to tell a story about spoiling myself. I remember, and this hasn't happened in a while, but the first time I got into some bigger fish, it was about 2011, and it was at a lease called Ponderosa, which might be worth checking out there. Ponderosa, especially lower Ponderosa, but Ponderosa got into a couple. And they were very lively trout that year. And then one or two of them just started screaming line off my reel and got me down into my backing, which has only happened a couple of times. Yep.
Did you get it back?
One of them I did not.
The one that got in the backing, did you get it back?
No, I had a couple do that.
Huh.
It was crazy. Yeah, it was just like...
That is crazy.
I just couldn't believe it. Yeah, they pulled all 80.
And it was trout.
80.
It wasn't like...
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't like a buffalo.
No. All 80 feet of my fly line pulled out, and the fish was still burning down the river. Oh,
and then it came back and it bit your knee.
Yeah. And granted me 3 wishes. And, yeah.
And that's why are they holding hands?
It was a very strange scene. Two people who were wearing highway safety vests, who, for all appearances, are probably were busted for the same crime and doing some community service work right now.
Caught all the fish already? Are you got a bug woolly bug around? Oh, I see. All right.
Got something. Yeah, well, it might not be a trout. I don't know, it's kind of strong. See some gold on it. Whoa. Oh my God, it's going. Come on. I'm gonna walk downstream. Get into some shallows. Come on. Oh, jerk. Keep up. Whoa. I think it's a redfish. No, it's a trout. Oh wow! It took the squirmy wormy. Perfectly good RS2 right there. Yep. Even get around. Oh, okay. There's always such a mishmash of locks on these things. One lock for Airbnb and one lock for the real. Whoa! There's one just totally like porpoise right next to the What's going on with those guys? What do you think they're going after if they're doing that?
What I'm gonna do, I've got a jig, a bead head, a nymph.
Uh-huh.
With a little orange soft tackle.
Okay.
I'm gonna throw it out with no indicator.
Okay. Oh yeah, sorry.
Check. All right. So here we are on River Road. We don't know if we've got an official name for the podcast, but we got some good ones. I think Last Cast Podcast is a good one.
Yeah.
Because Matthew would always say that when we're, we should have left like 30 minutes ago. And he's like, Last Cast, and that basically means 10 more casts. So, you know.
Yeah, it's like when you hit the snooze button on the alarm.
Oh, it's totally that. It's totally that. Yeah.
But yeah, I'll Google Last Cast Podcast, make sure that
see if they're
not actually a podcast already called that.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's a good idea. Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. If not, we'll come up with Alice with something snappy. Mm-hmm. You know, like the egg and the midge, or
I don't know. I like the pot. You gotta have a cast pot.
Yeah, no, I think that's nice too. And it works two ways. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is the inaugural segment of That Wasn't That Bad, which is basically a it's the part of the part of a normal fishing trip where we kind of give ourselves a post fishing pep talk, just to try to forget all the flies we've lost. And
it's sort of the mutually self-destructive relationship we have with fishing.
That's exactly what it is.
Where we just say like, no, fishing really does love me.
Right, you right. Know,
it's just, that's just how it's showing it.
Fishing's just angry right now. We speak different love languages. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I was getting pretty mad at fishing there for a while when we were getting outfished by a spin fisherman.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Throwing some sort of worm, some sort of child's toy.
Yeah, I saw it. It was just like a little, like, maybe like inch and a half long worm. Didn't even have like a tail on it.
No. It was, he was basically throwing, the dude was throwing a gummy worm, basically.
Yeah.
And trout, being the noble, sophisticated, entomologically advanced species were eating it up like candy. They couldn't get enough of that thing.
Yeah, I like how you were really nice to that guy up until the point that you started catching fish. And then
I did start getting like, yeah.
Yeah, you're like, oh yeah, there's like all this stuff, all this advice you're giving him, and then it's like he's catching fish, and you're like, and then you moved. You totally left the area.
I did. I was getting sour, and I'm like, I gotta, it's fourth and 20, I need something. Mm-hmm. My entry into That Wasn't That Bad is, I was hooked up on about four different fish today.
Yeah, yeah.
Two of which broke me off, two of which got off.
Okay.
And finally caught that last one on an egg sucking leech, number six hook.
Number
brown
six?
Big one, yeah. Number six brown. And brown.
Well, that's like the first streamer that's like hooked up this year, isn't it? Like for us?
No. Last weekend I was using a black one with an optic green, fluorescent green head, and caught a big one in very much the same kind of water up at number five, right before the weir above the kiddie pool.
Okay.
Same exact water. I mean, almost like a mirror image of that water.
Like really slack. And
yep. Yeah, with a current in it, because it was heading towards a drop off. Mm-hmm. And that's seems like that was productive. So that was my that's not that bad. At least there was some action. It was still not a normal kind of great day. And I think after your fish, that was pretty much it for you, right?
Didn't you? Yeah, that was the only. I may have had a hookup. Oh, a little fox was trying to cross.
Oh, damn, I missed it. No.
Yeah, so it was like almost like within like the first half hour, I think I got that female. And that was on. Yeah, she bit the
squirmy wormy,
the glow in the dark squirmy wormy.
Wow.
Which I, after last time we were out here, and I didn't catch anything, I think.
Yeah.
And it was like I was out of squirmy wormies. Or at least glow in the dark ones. I tied like 10 of them, and now my little box is full of them.
Good.
But I took the glow in the dark squirmy wormy, and. Fought hard.
Yeah.
But
you were into it for a while.
Yeah, and I caught that medium sized sunfish.
All right.
essentially a Parachute Adams.
Hey.
And yeah, it was like right in that area where they were just jumping.
You're all excited. You're like, yeah. Oh my God, it's a trout on dry. Yeah, that's the holy grail for the Guadalupe.
Yeah. Yeah. What were they hitting on if they were like actually jumping out of the water?
Apparently, when they do that porpoising thing, I've read on the GRTU forum that they are feeding on emergers coming off of the bottom.
Right.
And so what you know, what old hands at the Guadalupe will tell you to do is throw a soft hackle with a midge behind it, or a soft hackle just in the top film. There's also a caddis, sort of half dry, half wet fly that I've got in my box. That the last time you and I were at Ingram, when it was like, you know, nothing was working, and I caught a sudfish on that.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, yeah. So I think, and actually I think that was like when we were getting ready to leave, and you caught that one real big one down there, and that was, yeah. So yeah, at least, you know, both of us caught a nice trout today. So yeah, that wasn't that bad.
Right. Yeah, and it's it's 1-1. So
yeah,
it would have been nice if I had caught something, then you were just like miserable and had caught everything. But I mean, this is acceptable too. It's like a tie. You
know? Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. There's no sudden death. It's just like, oh well. Yeah. Yeah. I sometimes get mad that I get mad when I'm not having a good time because it's so pretty out here. I'm just like, I should just, you know, sort of bask in it. But you're just like, ah, I've only got 10 minutes of daylight. I want to catch something, you know.
People should pity us for spending an afternoon in a beautiful location.
Yeah, it really looks like nowhere else in Texas, I'm told. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So I got into a conversation once with a guy who said that, especially like Action Angler on down, just the high cliffs and everything.
Yeah, the cliff is crazy.
Yeah, he said that it, you know, really reminds him of, you know, Western Rivers, Colorado specifically.
So
I was like, oh, that's cool. Yeah, but that was the first, that fish I caught today, that was the first fish I caught in that lease this season. So, that was nice to have that happen.
Yeah. I'll try that again if we didn't have some goddamn spin fishermen getting in the way.
Yeah, really. Yeah. And also, unfortunately, that beach is like, I've seen like, you know, kind of a Yahoo, you know, big truck driving, you know, crew that'll go down there and make a campfire and just, you know.
And then I've seen like that happen down there, and they'll keep the fish.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think I saw like some like fat kid like on like one of those, and then he beat the fish with a rock.
Oh, man, Jesus!
Right on the side of the river.
Oh God!
And I was like, jeez.
Yeah, yeah. I had another sort of a similar experience once when I was learning that part of the river, and there was this kid with a BB gun across the river from me. And we were just sort of getting into a conversation. He's like, oh, look, there's a trout right there. And I'm like, really? And he points to the trout below him. He's, you know, across the river on a little deck. And he points below, you know, the deck with a gun and shoots in the goddamn water at the fish. And I was like, don't shoot at it. Well, and he's like, it didn't even move. And I'm like, ah.
I'm sure a BB gun wouldn't be enough for a trout.
Still,
it's point blank.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just the principle of the whole thing. Just like, is that how you point? Is that how you show people where, you know, is that how you give directions?
Uh-huh.
You just shoot in the direction somebody should go? Are you going to do that when you're a grown up? Is that how you're going to handle things? Idiot.
You should go down to a Bass library. Blam, blam.
Hold on, I'm out of bullets. I gotta tell you how to negotiate the exits. Asshole. that's really, I think we're really kind of touching on, you know, you're really, you know, the last cast is really giving you a glimpse into the kind of the elitist, horrible elitist underpinning that makes this podcast go, you know, the... the patrician gas in the tank, if you will.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what fly fishing is.
It is.
If we're honest.
It is. Yeah. It is. Yeah. I mean, even like, even when, you know, I'm not catching anything, like, I definitely will say things to myself like, well, at least I'm fly fishing. Like, hey, at least, you know, I have to know how to cast this thing, and I'm doing that pretty well.
Well,
you know,
I think, like, the one moment when fly fishing wasn't super elitist and, you know, like modern American gentry for me was when I was tying flies, trying to use dryer lint as dubbing. Like this giant, gross, blue.
That's awesome.
Fly.
Did you ever catch anything on the Woolly Gaga?
The Woolly Gaga? That was like the one fly that actually made fish run in the other direction. It was like sunfish too, like hungry sunfish, which hit anything.
Yep.
That Woolly Gaga hit the water, and they were like turn tail, like an entire school of them. Like,
yeah, we're not doing this.
Yeah, the Woolly Gaga was it was kind of like a woolly bugger, except I used
like
crystal pipe cleaner.
Yeah,
and for the body, and then instead of marabou on the tail, it was this cellophane fright wig stuff.
Yeah,
and when it went through the air, it sounded like a bonfire. Like this crackling sound.
Yeah.
As a cast.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks everybody for joining us for the first Last Cast, the podcast. And
we're looking for sponsors.
Looking for sponsors.
We really have low standards. We'll sell it to anything. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, yeah. Free is wonderful. That's free is wonderful.
Until next time, thank you for listening to
Thanks, guys.
Last Cast.
All right.
This is a sign off.
Signing off.